It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is going to be one of those mornings. Yep, June 9th, 2017. Lord's not making another one, and this is going to be one of those mornings. I just know it. I'm conflicted about 12 different topics that I want to talk about. I want to be faithful to try to complete today the teaching on the lie of the separation between the church and the state, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. We've been endowed by our Creator, given to us by our Creator certain rights. So rights don't come from government. They're universal rights, they're natural rights. And those rights were found with the foundational principles upon which the land was founded. So I want to talk about that, but I got to talk about a couple other things before we get there. Number one, come on, the boot camp's coming up. We're filling up very, very steadily. And a lot of you guys out there are last minute kind of guys, and you don't let us know to the last minute. So we're getting near the last minute. It's going to be next weekend. It's going to begin on Friday night. We're going to run through Saturday, and you'll be home for Sunday, Father's Day. The homosexuals always do, in Columbus anyway, the gay pride parade, the homosexual pride parade on Father's Day weekend. What does that tell you? Huh? Boy, oh boy, that's another punch in the face to our father, I believe. So we'd love for you to come. It's only $30, and that includes your housing. Now, it's not great housing. You know, it's probably sleep on a cot in a room, but it'll be okay. Bathrooms, we'll have all that. And we'd love you to come, but you got to register. Let us know online at CoachDaveLive.com that you can be there. We're looking forward to you coming. It's going to be a life-changing experience, I promise, for those of you who've never done it. Issue number two. Yes, sir.
Yes, Roger. I want to make a comment about the parade. Last year, we went down with, and there's different levels that you can participate in. So, one, every believer should pray and see what is going on.
Roger, you were breaking up bad with me. I don't know whether it's just on my end or your end. Does he need to refresh your things, Jared? So Roger made a good point. There's different levels for everybody. If you just want to come and stand and watch, you can do that. If you just want to come and stand and pray, you can do that. Go ahead, Roger.
So there's different levels. Everybody should see what's going on. You can get back and talk to people. Secondly, different levels of participation. Thirdly, you will be able to share the gospel. I'm shocked to have people
having trouble hearing you, Coach.
Yeah, Roger, you're going to have to refresh because you're breaking up, Roger, so you're going to have to refresh. It is a gospel opportunity. Roger's right.
Having trouble hearing you.
Jared, they're having trouble hearing me, brother. So we got you. Jared said, okay, YouTube's the issue. Whatever. We're doing the best we can here. You have the opportunity to share the gospel. We'll have gospel tracts you can hand out. There'll be all kinds of people there. We'd love for you to be part of it. If you've never been there, it's time to get some hair on your chest and come and see what it's like to earnestly contend for the faith. Issue number three. Roger, I don't know whether you need to go off and come back in and refresh. We got 11 people. Let's get it up to 30. I want to see. I'm going to do a special kind of dance when we get it up to 30 for the first time, just so we can make sure that this thing works. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle. Boom, you're in here. Ray, good to see you. Ray just joined us. Ray always has a lot of good stuff to add. Issue number three, I want to go briefly. I want to talk about the Comey situation that's going on. A lot of you didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to it yesterday. I've done a lot of research and reading on it. That's where we are in America today. James Comey was totally and completely loyal to the Clinton administration. There were three things that came out yesterday that I'm going to point out to you right now, and we're not going to dive into it because I want to get into something else. Number one, he said Trump didn't do anything wrong. Trump is never under investigation, never has been under investigation. And Trump never asked him to call off any investigation. Straight from the horse's mouth. Boom. This whole Russian thing is crazy. Didn't happen. Issue number two. He admitted yesterday that he was one of the leakers. That's right. That he actually leaked documents to the press through a third party. That he didn't like what President Trump was saying regarding an issue. So Comey leaked it to one of his law school professor friends at Columbia University. And the Columbia University professor leaked it to the New York Times or whoever it was. And so that created a frenzy that wasn't there. Comey was the leaker. By the way, crime. It's a crime. Number three, which was just a lot of things that were really amazing, is he admitted that he didn't investigate Hillary Clinton because Loretta Lynch asked him not to. It's basically it. They shut down the Hillary Clinton investigation because Loretta Lynch asked him not to. And so we heard that Comey said that he was offended that President Trump had asked him for a loyalty pledge. And no wonder he couldn't sign the loyalty pledge. He was in bed with all the Clintons. He's been in bed with all the Clintons all along. Folks, our government, you know, why would anybody follow the law? Why would anybody follow the law? In fact, I'm going to go to Proverbs 26 today, and I'm going to share this with you. See, here's what I wrote a commentary, did a video a few years ago. What's going on around us is they're trying to police the law abiding. That's what we see happening. Every time I drive down the road and I see a state highway patrolman, sorry, Chad, sitting with a radar, I think, what a waste of time and effort and energy. What a waste. But the police sit there with a radar because, number one, they know that you're probably law abiding and they're going to hit you for a $250 fine and they're going to slow you down. They're not out on the streets pursuing drug dealers. They're not out on the streets pursuing gangs. They're not out on the streets pursuing pedophiles. They're not out on the streets pursuing whatever, all these other things. No, they're sitting there with a radar, making sure that you slow down. Why? Because they know that by doing that, you have a law, you're law abiding and you'll behave. If ever the law ever really came down and they began to convict everybody that was breaking the law, we wouldn't have enough jails and we wouldn't have enough police officers to be able to enforce the law. So let's understand this. They don't want to take on Islam because they don't have enough people to enforce the law. They don't have the power to be able to do it. And so they know this, that if we can just get those compliant Christians to behave, maybe we can calm these things down. I see it all the time when we go to the abortion clinic where they're killing babies, and who do they police? Us. Us. They're killing babies inside, and we step over a line and we go to jail. And so open our eyes up and understand exactly what's going on. So Comey and the Clintons and Podesta and Obama, they didn't realize this. See, I said this yesterday. They didn't realize that they weren't going to be charged anymore. There's going to be a new sheriff in town. And so Comey and all these people, they didn't figure any of this stuff would ever be exposed or any of it would ever be uncovered. They would get their own guy in there as referee, whether it be Hillary or whoever, and all this stuff would be brushed over and nobody would ever dig deep, and they would continue to let the deep state run what's going on. And I feel somewhat vindicated because I said back, been saying it for almost a year, that Trump's our only hope. And not that Trump is a righteous man, but that he's our only hope because they're not going to be able to control him. And I think that's what's going on. I do. And I think no matter what happens from this point forward, Hillary ought to be thrown in jail. That's why I'm wearing my shirt this morning. I still have faith. I still have hope. Not because I don't like Hillary, but because we need justice. Our system requires justice. Justice for all. That everybody is prosecuted or treated on the same level legally. We know that's not true. But if we let her get away with what she did. See, think about this. Everything about Trump was leaked to the press. All kinds of leaks going on about Donald Trump. All kinds of them. Yet one of the leaks that never came out, even though they all knew it, was that, number one, Donald Trump was never, ever under investigation by the FBI. That never came out. They all knew it. In fact, every one of the senators had been briefed, or at least the senators on the Intelligence Committee, how many that would be. They all had been briefed that Trump was not under investigation. They all knew it. Somebody explain to me why that was never leaked. They leak everything else, but that was never leaked to the press. And the reason it was never leaked, because we're going to wake up and understand, guys, it's a big club and we ain't in it, okay? A big club there in Washington, D.C., and we're not in it. I'm in Proverbs 26. I want to go there today. And then, Chad has said, too big to jail. That's right, too big to jail. Well, Hillary ain't too big to jail. She ain't too big to jail. It's going to be a tough one. Proverbs 26 is really, really good. It's 28 verses long, and I'm going to show you why I think we're kind of in a mess. Can you just bear with me as we read Proverbs 26 today? Here we go. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Wow. Fools don't like honor. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass. Ooh, he allowed to say that? A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The media is foolish. Our media is foolish. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is he that giveth honor to a fool. Look at the people we're honoring. Wow. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 10. The great God that formeth all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so does a Democratic Party to his folly. So does Hillary Clinton to her folly. So does James Comey to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own mind? There is more hope for a fool than for that man. 13. A slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. The slothful man just sleeps, rolls over all day. 15. The sloth hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. If you go around and you stick your nose in where it doesn't belong, it's like grabbing a dog by his ears. It's a good one. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no woods is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Think about our media. Think about that right there with our media. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So here's no story. There's no Trump story. So when there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So if they'd stop talking about it, it would go away because there's no story. 21, as coals are to burning, as words are, let's try it again. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Wow, that's Washington, D.C. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth upon deceit within him. How about that? When they hate Trump, so they try to tear him down with their lips, and they lay deceit upon him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. I'm heading someplace. Hang on. Whoso hateth is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Hey, we're seeing it all, aren't we? Are we seeing it all in Washington, D.C., what's going on there? Here's where I'm heading. This is what happened yesterday. Whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. The lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So they dug a pit, and they fell in it, and they rolled a stone up a hill, and it's coming back on them. And if they continue with the real investigation, Hillary's going to be in jail. We'll see at what point they're going to cut that thing off. Morning, Robert. Good to see you there, bud. Good to see you. So there's our word for the day, although I got another one. I think at 24:10. Let's go to Matthew 24:10. Let me throw this in here, and then we're going to dig into what I want to work on today. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 10. It says this. Thanks, Jared. And then, where am I? Let's start right there. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Here's the verse I'm at today. Because iniquity, sin, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin's abounding in America. And unpunished lawlessness, and because lawlessness will abound. Because people are seeing the lawlessness going on in the government, their hearts are turning hard. Their love is waxing cold. It's why important that Hillary and those guys be brought into justice. Scripture talks about, Constitution talks about high crimes and misdemeanors. As I've said before, a high crime is not like murder. That's not a high crime, although it could be. A high crime has to do with the position a person occupies. A high crime is a crime committed by a person in position of authority. James Comey broke at least three laws. He admitted yesterday he broke at least three laws. That's a high crime. He should have been arrested yesterday. We have got to tell our leaders, you're no better than the rest of us, and you're being held to a higher standard. And if you violate the law, your butt's going to be drug in and you're going to pay for it. It's the only way that it can work. And there was a time when we had pitchforks and torches, and the people had to go enforce the law themselves. We're almost to that point again. Right-wing watch will pick that up and say that I'm promoting that. That's not what I'm promoting. That's the way they always did it in the past. They called them posses. Do you remember that? Sheriff would go out and round up a posse, and what would they do? They'd go get the guilty guy. Well, the people were supposed to be rounding up the posse. They're elbow deep in it. Hey, anybody want to jump in here? Any words of wisdom or words not of wisdom that before we go here? Okay. I'm conflicted because I think people are enjoying what I'm doing here with this series on the Constitution and the separation between the church and state. And I really want to get to that, but I have to show you something that I got to show you before this. Okay. Just for this whole thing to make sense. If I don't get it done today, we'll jump into it on Monday. Raise your hand out there if you've learned something over the last week. Good, good. Me too. You learned a lot. Well, here's one of the greatest things that happened to us that we never understood, and that's what they call the Civil Rights Amendments. Civil Rights Amendments, in fact, rewrote the American Constitution. They called them the Civil Rights Amendments because they occurred right after They called them the Civil War Amendments because they were amendments to the Constitution that happened right after the conclusion of the Civil War. Now, let's stop and think about this a minute. Conclusion of the Civil War. How long do you think it would be after the war was over for these feelings of euphoria because the war was over, the emotionalism of the war? How long would it take before all those feelings would disperse? Or point I'm making is, legislation popped up right after the Civil War was over to right the wrongs of the Civil War. It was like they said, okay, we won the war. Here's some new rules. And they gave us what we've become known as the Civil War Amendments, 13, 14, and 15. And 13, 14, and 15, if you don't remember anything, remember this. The Civil War, won by the North, destroyed states' rights. Take it away from the slavery thing. I mean, the slavery issue is why the war was fought. But make no mistake about it. The Civil War gave us a strong federal government and took away the rights of the individual states. That's what happened. America was radically different after the Civil War. The government of America was radically different after the Civil War. One of the Civil Rights Amendments is 1870. I want you to think about this. 1870 is only 40 years removed from 1910. And it was in 1910 all of this nefarious legislation began to come in with the Federal Reserve and the income tax. That came in 1913. So once the federal government was able to seize all of the power away from the states and away from the people, government has become God. Boy, if I could chart this out, this would be amazing. But I want you to see the Civil Rights Amendments. Jared, go ahead and pull those up there. Civil War Amendments, I'm sorry. It was because these, in fact, changed the world. Changed America anyway. Hey, folks, we've got 14 people. Come on and join the queue. Go to Coach Dave Live. Click on Join the Huddle. If you can't get in by doing that, just refresh your page and try it again. All right? So these are the amendments that were passed right directly after the Civil War. And I'm going to share these with you, and then I'm going to explain to you what happened as a result. Okay? 13th Amendment, 1865. When was the Civil War over? Why, 1865, wasn't it? So Congress immediately said, okay, we have got to put into law, into the Constitution, things that were won during this war. That's what happened. So they gave us the 13th Amendment. Here's what it says. Ratified, as you see, in 1865. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2 says Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Ratified January 31st, 1865. So the 13th Amendment abolished slavery. Uh-oh, hang on. Hey, Jared. The old brain's kicking in. Hey, Jared, Google slavery, definition of slavery. Because we're enslaved today. I'm going to show you we're enslaved today. We think we're free. Okay, Jared, what's it say about slavery there? Let's pull this thing up there. Submission to a dominating influence. That's slavery. Hey, JR, can you say Washington, D.C.? Hey, JR, can you say income tax? Hey, JR, can you say mandatory taxation on your property? Submission to a dominating influence is slavery. Slavery is the state of a person who is a chattel of another. Does anybody know what chattel is? Better look that up, Jared. Words have meaning here. What's chattel? I know what it is, but I don't want Morning. You to think I'm lying. Morning. Chattel.
How was your sleep?
Awesome. Chattel is an item of tangible, movable, or immovable property, except real estate and things connected with real property. In other words, slaveholders who were determined to hold on to their human chattel. Chattel means property. Okay? Property. Tangible property. Other than real estate. Okay, Jared, let's go back to slavery. What is slavery? I'm sorry, I thought you'd just go back. Submission to dominating influence, a state or a person who is a chattel of another. Practice of slavery. We're slaves. Now, Paul said, see, people say the Bible doesn't say anything about slavery. Well, sure it does. Sure it does. Bible said, Paul said he's this bondservant. What do you think a bondservant is? That's slavery. I'm a slave to Christ. I'm a bondservant of Christ, but I choose to be one. I don't choose to be a bondservant to the IRS. I don't choose to be. It's submission to a dominating influence. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that in there. Anybody want to comment on that before we move out of there? Because, guys, we think we're free, but we're really not. You think you own your property, but stop paying your taxes and see what happens. See what happens. See, how about this one? Stop paying your mortgage. Let's say you paid your mortgage for 20 years. You have a 30-year mortgage. You pay your mortgage for 20 years, and then you fall into default. You can't pay your mortgage. Your house gets foreclosed on. What do? They come and seize that house. Do they give you the value of the house over 20 years? You paid your bills for 20 years. So that house, you borrowed $100,000 on it. Let's say you paid off $60,000 of it. Do they sell your house and give you your $60,000 and then they keep $40,000? No, because you're enslaved to it. You're enslaved to it. So what they tried to do, this is what happens when we try to do good legislation. So remember the Declaration of Independence, call these not only unalienable rights, but they call them self-evident rights. We don't have to put a law in. We didn't have to put an amendment into the Constitution saying slavery is wrong. That's self-evident. It's self-evident. Only ungodly people would need to have a law that would say that, right? But the 13th Amendment, okay, then no big deal. So far, so good. Are you ready? Here's the javelin to the heart of liberty in America. The 14th Amendment has now, because of a strong, overreaching federal government, the 14th Amendment, which was a Civil War amendment put into place only in application to the slaves, 1868. Okay, the war's over in 65. 3 years later, they put up the 14th Amendment. And here's what it says. This has now overturned the First Amendment. Here we go. Who are they talking about here? Come on, help me out. Context is important. Who are they talking about here? Who do these rights apply to? Slaves. Okay? So therefore, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, say slaves, okay? Because that's what it was about. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. They're saying, okay, if you're born here, slave man, if you were born in 1820, you're an American citizen now. Well, they were all along, see? They were all along. But this just reestablishes. But watch, law's nefarious. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. See, look, a state can't override the federal government. That's what they're saying here, right? In direct conflict to the 10th Amendment. Stay with me. Nor shall any state deprive any person, who, any what? Person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Unless you're an unborn baby. You're an unborn baby, they can deprive you of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And look here, here it is. This is the key. This is what has destroyed the First Amendment. Nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protections of the laws. Remember, this was put in place specifically to free the slaves, to grant slaves their rights, which they already had. In an honest, God-fearing government, people were people. Okay? But was this law, I don't know, do you think so? I don't know. Was this put in place to grant the right of a woman to kill her baby? Huh? Equal protection of the law, jurisdiction, if the government can't tell her what to do? Was this put in place to grant men the right to be able to marry men? Is that why they was put in? So, see, I've often argued that the whole homosexual marriage thing is bogus because of this. There's no discrimination there. I can't marry a man. Another man can't marry a man. There's no discrimination there. No man can marry a man. Every man can marry a woman. Every man can. But no man can marry a man. There's no discrimination there. And every woman can marry a man. But a woman can't marry a woman. So there's no discrimination. So what's happened to us all throughout, ever since the lawyers got a hold of this thing, is they now use that last clause, equal protection of the law, to grant all these freedoms that don't even exist. And the whole idea of stare decisis, previously decided court cases, that now has become the basis of our law in America. The First Amendment. So listen, hey, JR, don't miss this. I know you don't, sharp guy. Why does a baker have to bake a cake for homos? Equal protections of the law. Well, what about the homo? What about the baker's right to not bake a cake? No, no, no. He can't discriminate because of the 14th Amendment. Equal protections of the law. So I said, well, how about an unborn baby? Let's protect an unborn baby's right to live. No, 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 no. He's not a person. Because he's not a person, these laws don't apply to. But yet the thing says all persons born or naturalized in the United States. So you don't have any rights till you're born. That's what Hillary said. This amendment right here has been unbelievably destructive to the American way of life. Unbelievable. Granting rights that did not exist. The numbers of the Constitution. Taking away all the right of the states to be able to determine for themselves what laws and what rules it can make. 14th Amendment did not trump the 10th. They just tell us that it did. Okay, and then the 15th isn't that important. Let's go there, Jared. I mean, it's important. The 15th Amendment says, this is 1870, 5 years later. It says the right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So it gave the slaves the right to vote. So the real one that we're looking at is the clause that you'll hear over and over and over, equal protection of the laws, which is just a clause in the 14th Amendment that didn't even really need to be there. Okay, that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because everybody says, I have my rights, I have my rights, I have my rights. And they go to the 14th Amendment, equal protection of the law. Yep, he has his rights. If you can marry a woman, he can marry a man. Equal protections of the law. And that's not at all what it even intended to be. Questions, comments, or who cares? Anybody out there?
I've got a comment, Coach. Okay. The one thing that these three laws did that has really been damaged is that they have concentrated power in one place.
Supreme Court.
That's
court. That's right. That's right. So what happens then is they take the cases to the judges, and the judges then get to determine whether or not your rights have been violated. And depending on, again, the condition of the mind and the spirit and the soul of the judge, you're going to get all kinds of different legislations, opinions. How can anybody look at a law so clear, thou shalt not murder? How can you look at a law that's so clear and parse it the way that we parse it? I'm not talking about involuntary manslaughter in different degrees. I'm not talking about that. Find in there, somehow in there, the right of a woman to kill her baby. Well, why? How could she kill her baby? Equal protection of the law. What if our state says, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. She has extra, she has protections, equal protections of the federal laws. So Abraham Lincoln brought down, whether that was his intention or not, brought down government became God at the end of the Civil War. Okay, anybody else?
Yes, Coach. Isn't it amazing how common sense has been thrown out the window? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean any disrespectful to the attorneys that have the way they're supposed to and pastors who are following Christ. But isn't it amazing how those two groups have really America? You got your pastors, your false pastors, prophets in the pulpit preaching lies for Satan. And then you have your false attorneys and judges saying things that aren't true. And the middle class people with a little bit of common sense says, well, I can't beat it. Around and just take whatever comes our way.
Yeah, because go ahead, Roger.
I'm like you. I personally wish we would start, boiling tar and tar and feather those who are traitors to God and this country.
They did it in the past, didn't they, Robert?
Yes, sir.
They did it in the past.
They didn't outlaw it.
No, they didn't outlaw. In fact, in the Declaration of Independence, it says it's our duty. It's our duty to overthrow it. See, and so, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, in conjunction with the explanation that you brought forward on the 14th Amendment, when the Roe versus Wade was decided, the judge that wrote the opinion, I can't remember his name, but he actually, in the last or next to last paragraph of his opinion, he said, if science ever develops, proof of that a person is a person before the stage that we have selected, says this, the ruling in this case is moot. And science has now proven that a brand new DNA exists as soon as the sperm fertilizes the egg. And every court in the country recognizes that wherever biological evidence is collected and there is a separate human DNA there, that person, whoever that human DNA belongs to, was at the location that sample was taken from. Therefore, science has now proven that there is a legally accepted person as far as court of law and evidence goes, there is a person there as soon as the sperm fertilizes the egg. But you have all these judges and politicians which refuse to open their eyes that science over Trump's Roe versus Wade. They just won't accept it, but it's there.
It's there. Hey, Jared, as Larry was talking, I didn't want to be ignoring him. I tried to look up that tape, and I think I found it, Jared. This is about 2 minutes. I'm sending it to you right now, Jared. This is a two-minute transcript from the Roe versus Wade decision where Justice, I believe it's Blackmun or it could be Justice White, I can't remember which one it was, says very specifically what Larry just told us. If it's ever determined that this baby is alive, it therefore has all the rights of the Constitution. In fact, the Texas judge arguing the case agrees with him. Go ahead and play that, Jared. I think I got the right clip.
Your Honor, it's our position that the definition of a person is so basic, it's so fundamental, that it is the framers of the Constitution had not even set out to define. We can only go to what the teachings at the time of the Constitution was framed. We have numerous listings in the brief by Mr. Joe Witherspoon, a professor at the University of Texas, that tries to trace back what was in their mind when they had the person concept, when they drew up the Constitution. He quoted Blackstone in 1765, and he observed in his commentaries that life, this right is inherent by nature in every individual and exists even before the child is born. I submit to you that the Declaration of Independence, we hold...
Lord, when you quote Blackstone, is it not true that in Blackstone's time, abortion was not a felony?
That's true, Your Honor, but what my point there was to see the thinking of the framers of the Constitution from the people they learned from and the general attitude of the time.
Well, I think I'm just wondering if there isn't basic inconsistency there. And let me go back to something else that you said. Is it not true, or is it true, that the medical profession itself is not in agreement as to when life begins?
I think that's
true. It's 1973.
But from a layman's standpoint, medically speaking, we would say that at the moment of conception, from the chromosomes, every potential that anybody in this room has is present from the moment of conception.
Okay, Jared, I just sent you another one. This was not the one I wanted. Play the other one that I just sent you, okay? Now, remember, folks, all of this argument that we're seeing right now took place in 1973. Think of the technology that we didn't have in 1973. Think of that. There's no doubt now with 4D ultrasounds. We do surgery inside the womb, for heaven's sakes. There's no doubt anymore. There's no doubt. But I want you to hear specifically what Justice Potter Stewart, I couldn't remember who it was. You didn't get it? You didn't get it? It says here it was sent. Let me make sure I sent it. Yeah, I sent it. I'm going to resend it, Jared. I'm sorry. Because this very argument comes up. Equal protection under the law. I just resent it, Jared, so hopefully it's going to come to you. Wait a minute. Did I send it to the right? I think I did. Let's see. I'm sorry, folks. I'm a bit distracted here a second. It's important that we get it. Let me try it again here, Jared. Okay, cool. Okay, now this is Justice Potter Stewart, and the question comes up about the rights of the unborn. Does the unborn baby have rights? 1973, they didn't have the technology that we have today. Listen to this minute and 30-second discussion between the attorney for abortion and Justice Potter Stewart. Go ahead, Jared.
Student number 70, 18, Roe against Wade.
You would agree, I suppose, that one of the important factors that has to be considered in this case is what rights, if any, does the unborn fetus have?
That's correct.
Yes. And the basic constitutional question initially is whether or not an unborn fetus is a person,
yes,
isn't it? It's critical to this case, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
If it were established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case here, would you
I
not?
Would have a very difficult case.
You certainly would.
Could Texas constitutionally, in your view, declare that by statute that a fetus is a person for all constitutional purposes?
The state could obviously adopt that kind of statute, and then the question would have to be adjudicated.
If it were established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case. It's an impossible case. It's an impossible case.
Okay, do you get it, folks? Do you get it? See, the issue has been from the onset of abortion, not whether or not you could kill an unborn baby. That was never the question. The question was, is it a person? See, it's the exact same argument they made in slavery. Exact same argument. Blacks aren't people. Well, you can own blacks. They're not people. Same argument they made in the Nazi Holocaust. Hitler said they're subhuman. They're not people. Who cares what you do to them? Those Jews are animals. Those blacks, they're just animals. They're not humans. Margaret Sanger called them human weeds, useless eaters. They dehumanized them, okay? What are they doing with abortion? Well, the justices, as we just heard, they said, hey, if it's ever proven that little thing in mommy's womb is a person, man, you got yourself a tough case, don't you? Oh, yes, sir, we sure do. And what are we still fighting over today? Whether or not it's a person. And we know right now that there are babies being aborted today who, if the mommy wanted to keep them and they were born prematurely, medical science would save them. They would live. So, see, does life begin at the moment? It's the 14th Amendment that has given the woman the right to choose. Why? Equal protection of the laws. Well, what about the unborn baby? Well, it's not a baby. See how the argument goes? You see how the 14th Amendment has so screwed us up? The 14th Amendment has undermined the First Amendment. The 14th Amendment has. Not only that, the 14th Amendment, because this woman supposedly has a right to be able to kill her baby, the 14th Amendment now trumps the First Amendment, meaning I'm not allowed to go say anything to her. I'm not allowed to block a door. I'm not allowed to do anything to keep her from killing her baby. Why? Because 14th Amendment gives her equal protections of the law. Well, what about the 14th Amendment giving me the right to petition my government for redress of grievances? How about the free exercise of my faith? How about my ability to be able to go out and prevent her from killing her baby? Free exercise, equal protections of the law. See, it's not being It's the same thing we see going on with James Comey. It is not consistent and fair application of the law. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord hates a legal system like that. Scripture said the Lord hates unjust weights. This guy getting favored and that guy doesn't give. Does anybody ever watch football games and basketball games and baseball games and get mad because the referees get it wrong? They're cheating. Bad refs, kill the refs. How come we never say, kill the judges? Kill the judges. Because all the judges are is umpires. That's all they are. They call safe or they call it out, and boy, it is whatever they say it to be. Oh, man. I don't know if you know this or not. I feel this one deep inside me. Because when I was persecuted by the American Civil Liberties Union for praying with our football team, I asked one simple question. Just one simple question. Can somebody show me any law anywhere that says I lose my right to free exercise of my faith when I go to work in a public school? That's all. Just show me the law and I'll follow it. Show me the law. And there isn't one. There's a Supreme Court decision where a group of judges determined what's equal protection of the law and what isn't equal protection of the law. And when the two liberties come together, well, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law. Jared, pull it up there. I'm sorry. I'm just free versing it here right now. First Amendment. Hey, why is it number one? Why is the First Amendment the number one? Huh? Well, I know why it's number one, because it's the most important. First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law. Remember, courts don't make law. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. We already said that. We know they can't do that. They can't make the Episcopal Church the official religion. They can't prevent the free exercise thereof. If I want to pray with my football team, they cannot. They cannot prohibit. If Congress can't make a law, can the school district make a law prohibiting my free exercise? Don't think so. Or abridging the freedom of speech. So a woman wants to kill her baby, and I want to go to the abortion clinic and harass her to try to save her baby. Congress can't make a law restricting that. They can't do it. Or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And now what I have to do? Why? I got to get a parade permit. Permission to go express my rights. Why? Stinking 14th Amendment. Somebody jump in here and bail me out. Hey, we're up to 20. We're up to 20. Roger dropped. We're up to 19. Come on, keep jumping in here. Anybody? Something to add? Come on. Multitude of men counts as great wisdom. Somebody's got something to say.
When are men going to do what men are supposed to do, regardless of freedom or life? I ask myself that day, every day.
Amen. You know, Robert, June 6th, we just had D-Day, although they certainly don't tell our kids about D-Day anymore. I don't even think they celebrated it in the public school. Don't think they did, because they certainly cannot allow the grandkids to know what their granddaddies did. Can't have that going on, right? But I heard Michael Savage. If I had time, I would call that up. Michael Savage's opening on D-Day to his show is a clip that everybody needs to hear. I'm going to try to get that ready for us on Monday. Somebody remind me to do that. And Michael Savage asked a very simple question. He called them the Eddies, the 16 and 17 and 18-year-old men, boys, who went enlisted, who lied about their age, and went enlisted in the army to go fight the Nazis, the Japs. Savage said this. What would they do today? What would those 16 and 17 and 18-year-old boys, what would they do today? Wow. See, you know the difference? See, the difference is that we didn't have that powerful, overreaching, all-consuming government. We didn't have it back in 1941 and 45. Roosevelt had just been elected and just started ushering all this crap in, see? Well, where are the men of character going to stand up and push back, say no to this stuff? Does it matter to us? That's the question Robert's asking. You say, you know what, Coach, you'd be a fool to go do that now. They'll throw you in jail.
Hey, Coach.
They'll put a bullet in your head. Yeah? Oh? Yeah, Larry?
Yeah, you know, Robert asked the question, why aren't men doing that? And you ask, well, what would those young kids be doing today? Well, I will tell you from experience, from seeing my friends and their children and grandchildren and everything through the process, 9 out of 10 is 16 through 18 year olds today would say, well, they'd if they heard about something on the news, they would say, well, let's get together and smoke a doobie and figure out if we're going to do anything.
Well, that not only that, Larry, they'd say, well, who am I to tell somebody else what they can do? There's no right and wrong. I mean, who am I to judge? See, that's this whole folks. You do understand all the stuff that we're talking about is connected, don't you? You do understand that? You do understand that the director of the FBI can get in there and openly tell us he violated at least 3 laws, high crimes, as far as I'm concerned, and nobody care? Nobody doing anything about it? Not one of those senators jumped up and said, arrest that guy. Nobody did? No. Why? Because we've been brainwashed. We no longer understand what's going on. We now understand the times in which we live and see what it is that Israel should do. The men of Issachar, The men of Issachar. I don't know where that is, Jared. See if you can find that. The men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what it was that Israel should do. You'll find it. I know you will. I want people to read this. That's the question Robert's asking. That's the question he's asking. The men of Issachar understood the times. And here it is, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. Hey, Jared, do me a favor. Just bring up 1 Chronicles 12, okay? Because I think it's important that we read a little bit before it and a little bit after, okay? Let's start right there. oh, my goodness. You know what? Oh, I know what this is. Jared, go back to about 10. Boy. They're right there, Jared. 14. These were of the sons of Gad, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100, and the greatest over 1,000. Talk about God's leaders. These are they that went over the Jordan in the first month when it had overflown all of its banks. And they put to flight all of them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah. And there also came the children of Benjamin and Judah to hold unto David. And David went out to meet him and answered and said unto them, if you come peacefully unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if you come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers, look thereon and rebuke it. David said, if you're going before us, come on. If you're not, dude, you're in some serious trouble. And then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, hey, thine are we, David. We're with you, Lord, and we're on your side. The son of Jesse, peace. Peace be upon you, and peace be upon thy helpers, for thy God helps thee. And then David received them, made them captains of the band. And there fell some of Manasseh to David. And he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle, but they helped them not. For the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, oh, he will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads. We ain't going to go there. We're going to lose our heads. As he went to Ziglag, there fell to him Manasseh, Adnah, and Jozabad, and Jediel, and Michael, and Jozabad, and Elihu, and Zithel, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor, and were all captains of the host. And for at that time, day by day, they came unto David to help him. David was fighting. They kept coming. Others kept showing up until it was a big army, almost like the army of God, I'm paraphrasing. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war. And they came to David in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Wow. Children of Judah that bear shield and sword were 6,800, armed and ready to fight. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor, 7,100. These are the ones that came to him. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. The Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites. With him were 3,700. Zadok, a young man of mighty valor in his father's house, 22 captains. And of course, then there was Benjamin's boys, the king of Saul, kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hitherto, to the greatest part of them, had kept the ward of the house of Saul. The children of Ephraim, we read about them. Remember them? They were the ones armed with bows, turned back in the day of battle. The children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their father. And of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Goes on. So Robert says, where are the men of God? Where are they? Where are the passive, sitting around men of God that are watching liberty being stolen from us? And see, we're permitting it to happen because I believe misplaced theology. Rapture theory. Now, I don't care what you believe about the rapture. neither here nor there with me. I don't care. I would say this: if you believe there's a rapture coming, very soon rapture, if you really believe that the sky's going to split and those who believe in Jesus are going to leave here and everybody else is going to be set here for 7 years of hell on earth, if that's your belief, why don't you act like it? Instead of sitting back and say, oh, well, I'll be out of here soon, it's all okay with me, why aren't you out? Why don't you quit your job and hit the streets and do nothing but warn people about what's to come? If you really believe that that's going to happen. I do not believe. See, it doesn't even make sense, man of God. It doesn't even make sense. I don't think so. If you drive by a car, or you drive your car by a pond, where you see a young child drowning, and you sit there and watch him drown, and people come say, well, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you try to help? You say, well, I knew she's going to drown. I couldn't get there in time. Wasn't anything I could do about it. That's the attitude, see, that the pre-tribulation rapture brings to people. My problem is not with the rapture. My problem is with people sitting on their ass, believing the rapture is going to come. I used ass because I just read it in the scripture. Just read it in the scriptures. That's the problem in America. And see, that's what makes me, that's what makes people so uncomfortable about what I say, what we say here, makes them uncomfortable. Because we're being called to a higher call to do something. Not just talk about it, not just huddle in our churches, but to actually rise up and do something. As the men of Issachar, children of Issachar, understood the times in which they lived and knew what it is that Israel should do. See, I believe we know what it is. I believe we know what it is Israel should do. I just don't believe we want to do it. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, speaking of uncomfortableness and all that, you know, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, when I talked about and listed those denominations that are part of that Churches United in Christ outfit.
Yes, sir.
I believe you got an email from a guy by the name of John in Kansas, and you forwarded that email to me. I've since answered his email. But if you'll permit me, I'd like to answer it very quickly a little bit here on the program for a minute. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, well, John wanted to know what documentation there was to back up the things that I said yesterday.
In a nice way.
He was very polite about everything. No problem there at all. And so I sent him the same information that I struggled through and poured through back about, what is it now, 18 years ago, 17 years ago, when I first became aware of what was going on in that situation. And there's a 17-page document. I sent John the link to it. And it's, you know, it's kind of like the Twin Towers or any other event that happens. And they say, man, they should have connected the dots before it happened and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, there is no one particular sentence in any document anywhere that I know of that says exactly what I said on the program yesterday. However, there are plenty of documents and evidence that when you connect the dots, there's only one infallible conclusion.
Makes sense.
So, John, if you're listening, read through all 17 of those pages. And then you can go and do the same research I did. You won't get the same results because I have since redone that research. And a lot of the documents that were once available on the websites of those denominations that are involved, their founding documents and their some of their documents they used to have on their websites are no longer there. They took them down. And so
Larry, we're up against time. Larry, it's very simple. Well done, Larry. Listen, Jesus said this: why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do the things that I say? He numbled it right down. It's very, very simple. Who's Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of your life, or is the government Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of your life, or is your pastor Lord of your life? Who's Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of your life, or is your denomination Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of your life, or is your family Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of your life, or is your business Lord of your life? See, it's very, very simple. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and your denomination. You cannot serve God and all these other things. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Folks, this ain't hard. Unborn babies are dying. Why do you call yourself pro-life and not do a damn thing about it? God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.